Welcome, everyone. Thanks for joining us for the Market Tools User Group Stakeholder Engagement Session focused on the ISO's data strategy and the provision of ISO data externally. My name is Stephen Everett. I am the manager of market analytics here at the ISO and involved in a number of initiatives to advance the ISO's data strategy and to help provide more data and better access to quality ISO data externally here at the ISO. And I'll be taking us through most of the material here. Just noting that this session is being recorded under the FOIP Act. The intent is to provide openness and transparency of the ISO's process and to facilitate the participation of stakeholders. Participation is, of course, completely voluntary and subject to the terms of notice. So just note that you will be recorded for any questions or anything raised up here. In terms of asking questions, if you are accessing the webinar here using your computer or smartphone, there is a raise hand button up at the top. I'm going to try to keep an eye on those to make sure that I can see the questions that come in. Make sure that, if possible, please state the organization you work for as part of that. You can also type your questions into the chat as well, and also please note the name of your organization as well. Thanks in advance for doing that. Agenda-wise, so we'll do a fairly quick welcome and introductions here. I'm going to go over a couple of things, ISO data strategy overview and some background of where we are and how we got here. We'll go over some application programming interface work that we're involved in, as well as external data portal work, metadata documentation, reducing barriers to ISO data. And as part of this, we are making sure that we have time for questions and conversation. We do definitely want to hear from folk on these efforts and solicit some feedback from everybody. I don't know how long this is going to take exactly. We are booked until 10:30, and if we end up getting through the material and the discussions quicker, happy to give time back, but otherwise we want to make sure that there is an opportunity to provide us with feedback and have a discussion if that makes sense. Also just noting that this is intended to provide information to stakeholders, and so if there are questions while I'm talking and presenting here, please feel free to either raise your hand or put your questions in, and I'll try to deal with them as we go and just be cognizant of time and make sure that we can't get through it all, but I think we'll have enough time here, so don't be afraid to raise your hand and ask questions or provide any comments if you have any. So the key purpose of this session, which I'm sure you all read in the description for this event, is we're looking to engage stakeholders in a discussion, looking at what your current and future needs are while offering insight into what we're currently focused on in terms of our data efforts and providing means with which to access ISO data. Part of the point of this is to help us prioritize what data we make available publicly, the initiatives that we're working on to help make that happen in terms of the APIs and portals and any other work that makes sense to help advance this. And that includes how we share our data, and also with the development of metadata or information about the data that we provide and what ultimately would be useful to stakeholders to help understand what they're looking at when the ISO provides data. As of about a week ago, there were about 15 participants from a number of organizations. I do know that's gone up, but we weren't able to pull a more comprehensive list. So thank you to all of you for joining us here and helping to make this a more meaningful session. Appreciate it a ton. This is part of the ISO stakeholder engagement framework. So there are engagement principles, which include inclusivity and accessibility. We want it to be strategic and coordinated, transparent and timely, customized and meaningful. So hopefully we're checking those boxes off. And as part of this, we do want to make sure that it's a respectful process as we engage with everyone. So to ensure everyone has the opportunity to participate, we ask that you do listen and understand others' perspectives, disagree respectfully, balance airtime fairly, and keep an open mind. Personally, I'm cautiously optimistic that this session will be less contentious than perhaps certain other ISO stakeholder engagement sessions, but nonetheless, we do still want to make sure that it is respectful for everyone and that people have an opportunity to raise their voice and have an opportunity to talk and everything. So the Market Tools User Group is a relatively new initiative to the ISO, recently launched to actively incorporate the needs of users into the evolution of our market tools. ISO is successful if our participants are successful. And if our participants are successful, then Alberta maintains a vibrant and healthy energy market, which benefits all Albertans. So as part of this, we are looking to engage in a number of principles, including transparency. So we want to share upcoming developments and long-term plans with regard to our market tools. And our data initiatives are coming under this broader umbrella of market tools. We want to build a better understanding and ultimately understand how our users apply our tools, how the tools might better enable process efficiency for users, and where users are evolving their own businesses and tools so that ISO tools can be ready to service them as change happens rather than the ISO trying to catch up and be very reactionary. We are also looking to collaborate, which of course is part of why we're here. So we want to make users part of this tool evolution process by engaging the user base through regular feedback, technical focus groups where valuable to explore new developments and processes. So this external data initiative and this engagement with stakeholders on this topic comes under this broader market tool user group. Meant to mention this before with the agenda there, Mark Roberts, our manager of business applications and planning, will also speak a little bit at the end about some upcoming initiatives related to the Market Tools user group as well. He's heading up that broader initiative as well. No questions so far. Very good. Okay, so with that, I'll get into the ISO's data strategy and a bit of history of how we got here. The ISO does have a 2022 strategic plan, which you can find on our webpage. There's a link at the bottom of the page there. And it includes a number of focus areas for the ISO. And one of these is referred to as data and digitalization. And so the point here is to make advancements within the digital and data technology space, and take on a leadership role that helps with the overall transformation of our industry. And the way the ISO sees it is accessibility to ISO data helps with decision making that's needed in order to help facilitate this transformation. There's a couple of foundational activities that go with this, including establishing methods, practices, et cetera, to store, manage, process, secure, share, and govern our data in a repeatable way, and also to develop analytical processes that support agile and quality decision making for internal and external customers while building capability within the ISO to meaningfully incorporate those processes. So we see a lot of the external engagement work that we're going to share here today as part of that. Couple of outcomes from this related to data, one of which being we want the ISO to become a data hub for industry and facilitate industry innovation and consumer optionality to enhance efficiency and enable new business models. So I'll chat a bit more about this, but really this just goes hand in hand with the idea that if the ISO is able to provide access to quality data in an efficient way, then that helps with this overall transformation. It's going to be stakeholders who make a lot of the decisions that take us through this transformation, and we want those decisions to be informed properly, and that means access to quality data. Hopefully that all makes sense for everyone and everyone's on board with that. The overall data strategy, vision, and principles here, so this does overlap with the content that I just showed that came from our strategic plan. The overall corporate data strategy that we have is at a high level composed of two key elements, one being a data management strategy, which is, you know, making sure we're managing our data properly in terms of how we store it, manage it, process it, secure it, govern it, et cetera. And the other piece of this is developing a data analytics strategy, which supports that agile and quality decision making for both internal and external customers. So not going to talk too much about what we're doing internally to build out our analytics capabilities, but rather talk more about what we're doing to try to facilitate external data analytics capabilities through the provision of quality data. We are looking to be value focused, and that's part of why we're here. We're looking to create value for those involved in this industry. And so while we think we have an idea of what sort of data would be helpful for stakeholders, we are looking to hear more about what areas we should focus on next. As mentioned, we are looking to become an industry data hub, and I'll talk more about that on a subsequent slide here. We are looking to have an efficient approach on this, so we want to leverage existing technology and best practices. Part of this is we don't want to take on large and expensive projects. Rather, we are looking to make incremental improvements and changes, a lot of test and learn, try things out, see how they work, and build upon them when successful in order to advance this. And also from a best practices perspective, you know, we're not Google, we're not Apple, we're not looking to be pioneers in the data space, but rather advance our use of data and provision of data to make improvements to help everybody out, basically. And there is an ISO-wide inclusiveness principle that goes with this. So while a lot of this is market data that we're often talking about here, it's not exclusive to that. We're looking at providing access across all data where possible throughout the ISO when it comes to external access to quality ISO data. So I mentioned we have this objective of being a data hub for industry. And I think it's worth talking about what that means, because there is more than one possible direction of where this could go. One possible thought, one hypothetical definition would be that the ISO seeks to acquire and provide as much data as possible about this industry, which would mean expanding out into other areas not normally within the ISO's domain in order to procure more data and make it accessible. We didn't think that made sense, but rather we did think it made sense to have the ISO make as much of its current and normally acquired data as accessible as possible. So this means no change to the ISO's current mandate. It does mean applying principles of open data, which include providing complete data, primary data, timely, accessible, machine processable, non-discriminatory, non-proprietary, and license-free data. And as part of that, it also means not charging for data. We're not looking to make money off it. We are a public agency and looking to facilitate a FEOC market, so we want to make it as accessible as possible. The Data Hub does include new means with which to retrieve ISO data. So that includes APIs, external data portal, and analytics dashboards as well. And I'll talk more about those. We do also want to improve the metadata and documentation that we provide with our data. And I'll talk more about that. And we're also seeking to improve data quality, which to an extent goes hand in hand with the metadata and documentation as well. And I'll chat a bit more about that. The other thing that this also means in terms of being a data hub for industry is we are looking to reduce the impact of barriers to the access of our data. And one of them, as an example, is ISO rule section 103.1, confidentiality. And I'll talk a bit more about that one. That said, though, want to temper expectations a little bit in terms of what the ISO may be able to provide with regard to our data, as we do have SIP requirements, which are cybersecurity requirements that protect certain types of ISO data. And we do still have commercially sensitive data concerns that we want to respect as well. So we want to be able to provide what we can given certain limitations in how much we can provide across certain types of data. Are there any questions about the ISO's data strategy and what we're looking to achieve here? Okay, I will keep going. So I'll talk a little bit about the APIs that we are currently working on. As background, back in 2020, the ISO updated the InterTIE ATC public report. As part of this, APIs were developed to streamline data flows into it, into the new data face, but also to reduce web page scraping that was going on with those reports prior. And so the initial APIs that were developed at the ISO included InterTIE capability and interchange outage data. And there's a link there of where you can find those. Building on those, we have been looking to create additional APIs in order to provide better access to our data and to also reduce web page scraping along the ETS portal, which is basically, well, one of the main ways to access ISO data, as I'm sure most of you know. In addition to that, you can also get data through data requests and off the data request page, and also through assorted different locations on the ISO's webpage if you know where to look. One of the things we're looking to do with this whole project as well is to try to streamline where we provide data and try to make it a little bit more of a one-stop shop in terms of getting access to our data. But anyway, for APIs, there are actually a number currently available. Energy market order, offer, I think it's actually supposed to be offer reports, so my apologies on that. Operating reserve offer data, actual and forecast report, S&P and hourly pool price. I will note something on the system marginal price and hourly pool price for those currently using those. There are two versions out there right now. There's a version 1 and a version 1.1. The 1.1 uses a different date and time format that is easier for downstream processes to be able to use, and so we did upgrade to be able to use that format, and we are going to be phasing out the initial version of those APIs while maintaining the updated version of them. So if you're currently using those, do upgrade to the new ones when you can, as those older ones are not going to be kept around a ton longer. We are looking to develop additional APIs in the future to, again, reduce the ATS web page scraping and make our data easier to access. So upcoming ones include the current supply and demand report, which will have to be through a couple of APIs, and also the metered volumes report, which will also be multiple APIs. Following that, later in this year, we're looking at producing some APIs for generation outages, which cover three different reports in ETS. There's the monthly outage report, the daily outage report, and the 7-day availability report. There's also the 24-month supply and demand forecast and history in ETS there, looking to provide APIs for that, and transmission outages as well, which is currently in two reports. In the future, likely into at least next year at this stage, system load is one that we're looking to hopefully provide. We don't currently provide that one, so that one is a new data set, but we get enough requests for it and interest in it that we think it would be valuable to provide. And I mentioned that the current supply and demand page will be through APIs. The initial one will be, as you see the CSD page now, in terms of it providing current real-time data. We do want to get into providing historical current supply and demand page data as well. There's often a lot of demand for this. The ISO does not currently provide it, and that is something we want to provide in the future. Those two are a little bit trickier to provide since we don't provide them now and would require more work basically on our end in order to develop those. But that is something we want to do. Now, guidance for which APIs we've initially created and which ones we are looking to create in the future are based on our knowledge of what market participants are looking for in terms of information, market information from the ISO, and partly based on what we've seen from web page scraping. But we are also looking for additional information from market participants, from you stakeholders, on what else would be helpful in the future. There's quite a bit in ETS still that goes beyond these ones, and there's even potentially data beyond what's in ETS that we could potentially provide. And I see we have a question here from Erica Goddard asking, how are CSD and metered volumes going to be broken out over multiple APIs, and what is the thinking behind this approach? Yes, good question. Thank you. Please, if everyone could just include their company name when asking a question, we would appreciate it. Thank you. The CSD page and metered volumes contain quite a lot of information, and they're not super straightforward. Thank you, Erica, from Lion's Tooth Energy. Appreciate it. The CSD page and metered volumes pages provide quite a lot of information, and basically it's not easy to create one API that encapsulates the broad set of different data that are on those pages. And so with the CSD page, for example, there's the load, there's supply aggregated, there's the supply from all of the different assets, there's their MCs in there. There's not it's not clear how through one API we'd be able to provide all of that information simultaneously. So we're looking at what we do need to do to provide that. And we're not looking to create more APIs than necessary, but we do believe that we'll need to do more than one API in order to provide the suite of information that is in each of those reports. Hopefully that answers your question there. Another question coming in from Sujata Verma. Do you have any API currently or plan to have any API in the future to get real-time data from Adams? And Sujata is from TransAlta. Sujata, did you have any specific real-time data in mind from Adams that you were thinking in terms of what you're looking for? Construction time. What you currently see on this page is currently what we have focused from, what we're currently looking at from a publicly accessible suite of data, basically, what we want to make publicly available. In terms of instruction time, we'd have to look into that. I'm not sure whether that is a data set that we normally provide publicly or whether that is one that goes more directly with individual stakeholders. We do have other market tool initiatives looking at trying to provide direct information with individual stakeholders as part of the ETS tool and how that gets in there. And yes, I was Mark, thank you for weighing in on this. Mark from our team here is working on this and says we're having discussions around interfaces for real-time Adams in ETS happening in May. So short answer is yes. What we're looking at here on this page, like I say, is focused on what we are aiming to provide publicly to all stakeholders, basically. So thanks for that question. Got a question from Justin Gaudet at Capital Power, and my apologies if I didn't get your name quite right on that. Lots of good information about retrieving data via API. Any plans to submit data to ETS via API? Yeah, similar. We'll have more info on that coming out in May. And a follow-up from Erica here saying, so metered volumes can be sorted to balance loaded gen. Would be nice if future reports would be just load and just gen. Maybe that helps. Yeah, thanks for that. I believe we did have a discussion that kind of goes hand in hand with that, where certain things need to be broken out between load and gen. And actually, I think outages even fell into that. So yes, thank you. And also thoughts on other reports in terms of the wind and solar forecasts. Fair enough. Good to know on that. We will take that away. Okay, well, certainly there'll be more time to keep asking questions here, but I think I got through all of the ones written in there, so thank you, everyone. And I'm not seeing any hands up, so I think I'll keep going here, but certainly we can come back to this if folk have more questions. So, in addition to APIs, we also have an external data portal that we're working on. So it's part of a bigger enterprise portal project that the ISO has to facilitate the bi-directional flow of information and data between ISO and market participants. So it's leaning on the same platform. It is intended to be very much a providing data externally type application. We're not really looking to receive information back from market participants with this particular one, but it does lean on the same platform that some of the other portal projects that the ISO has been working on that do provide information back to the ISO. So a couple examples there include the Distribution Connected Energy Resources portal, the FOIP portal, and the ARS compliance portal, and you can find some more information on those there through that link. This one's very much a data-focused portal intended to provide an alternate means to access and retrieve ISO data. So this data portal currently will use the same APIs that we're developing in order to ensure a consistent source of truth and reliable information. We are looking to build out a visual dashboard of the data in there as well. And the thought is also that this would provide alternate means with which to retrieve ISO data coming through those APIs and just that the ISO provides in general, not all organizations and individuals are of the same savviness when it comes to using APIs, and sometimes it's more practical to go and retrieve a data set or want to go just look at a quickly produced chart, for example, to see something rather than having to pull data and put it into some program like Excel in order to see a chart. So we want to provide other means beyond just APIs and what we have through ETS and other means that we provide data now in order to provide other means of access for market participants and stakeholders. In the long run, this may have the potential to replace the data reporting functions in ETS. We all know and love ETS. It's been part of the ISO for, oh gosh, over 20 years now. It's done its job well and all that. It wasn't necessarily intended as a data reporting as a primary function type tool. It does stand for energy trading system, which is sort of what it's meant for, but it does provide quite a lot of information. Depending on how this alternate portal works out, it could potentially be an alternate means to ETS, which means that at some point in the future, we could consider focusing ETS on its primary function of being a trading platform and making ISO data available through another entry point like the data portal. This is way off, though. We're not discussing that. It's not a goal or objective on anything that we have at this point, but rather just kind of thinking, what happens if this data portal is a success? What do we do with ETS in the long run? So we're still in fairly early stages for this data portal, and we do have a very, I'll even use the word extremely, preliminary draft mock-up for it. Obviously, there are a lot of things that still need to be sorted out through it. I'm sure everyone's looking at the Alberta internal load on there of 44666. We're looking at trying to build something with some visuals that allow people quick visual access to what's going on with elements of the market and beyond being driven by ISO data here. And so this current mock-up that you're looking at is heavily based off the CSD page. And so it is primarily driven by the same information that you see on the CSD page. But we are looking for any feedback that folk may have in terms of what makes sense to visualize, like what would be helpful, what would be useful. Shoot, even if you have the feedback that this doesn't help me at all, well, that would still be information for us. Nonetheless, we are looking at trying to provide a lot of this data through these visuals, and we want to know what should be done with it as well. And, you know, we could do sort of some higher level market type dashboards, a bit like what you see here, but there is also the possibility of a portal where all of the different sets of ISO data, just, you know, as a default could be provided through like a chart, for example, which you often see in other data portals, just to give you a quick overview there and some built-in charting capabilities. We have a question of whether all data that goes through this portal should be charted or not. So we're thinking about these things and wondering as we work through their development and trying to think about what would be valuable to stakeholders at the end of the day. So we're definitely looking for any feedback that might be out there on this stuff. Are there any questions on that external data portal? Okay, well, I will keep going. Let's talk a little bit about metadata and documentation. So what is metadata? It's structured information used to organize, manage, describe, or retrieve data. So it's like data or information about data. It's important to understand data and to be able to derive value from it. And we are currently undertaking a project to enhance the metadata provided with the data sets that are currently publicly available through ETS. And as part of this, also looking to clean up some of the ETS reports as some are either no longer updated or are redundant. And the reason we're doing this metadata project is as part of this goal of making sure that ISO and external stakeholders are able to make informed decisions with regard to what's going on in our market and industry, we want to make sure that that data is understood. And the metadata is key for that in terms of understanding, you know, what is it you're actually looking at? Are there any data quality type considerations with it? You know, what's available in terms of the data set? How often is it updated? Factors like that are often provided through metadata. For this project, we're going to start working on ETS data sets that are currently provided through APIs, because this would also be hopefully also helpful information for the APIs and for that data portal. To kind of explain a bit more about what I'm talking about here, we have, for example, in ETS, the actual forecast. So it's a little picture of it there. I'm sure a bunch of you are quite familiar with this. In the corner, top right corner of the CSD reports that the ISO provides, there's a little question mark button there, which brings up some information about what you're looking at. It varies report by report. Some are more informative than others in terms of the type of content provided. In some cases, for example, you know, definition of column content there, it really just provides the same column header that you see in the actual report. We want to provide more. We want to be more helpful and useful on this. And so we have some ideas of what we think may be helpful, and we're kind of going off best practices that we see at other organizations who also have data portals and provide data and metadata. But we're also looking for any feedback that may be out there in terms of what would be helpful with these reports. When you click on the question mark, what would you like to see type thing? Hopefully something. Are there any questions on the metadata? Doesn't look like it. Okay. I'll keep rolling along then. Removing barriers to ISO data access. So we do have another project currently in flight to assess the impacts of the proactive release of certain data sets that are not currently in the public domain. Why does public domain matter? We have a rule, ISO rule 103.1 confidentiality that I mentioned earlier, that states that any record that the ISO receives from a market participant which is not in the public domain, or in the opinion of the ISO is commercially sensitive, must be treated as ISO by the ISO as confidential, unless it fits into a number of exemptions that are also laid out in that rule that I didn't include here. That not in the public domain requirement of this rule often limits what we can provide. And if it's not commercially sensitive or otherwise detrimental to release it, and especially if it's also useful and something that market participants and stakeholders would find helpful in order to make more informed decisions, we want to try to make that available. But before we're able to do that, we do need to go through this process of assessing what the impacts may be and what means we may have in order to start proactively making those data sets publicly available. And just to give an example of what I'm talking about here, our small distributed distribution connected generator data is an example. So when you go to the current supply and demand page, the CSD page on the ISO's ETS page, you will find the type, size, and current output of all generators that are at least of 5 megawatts. And this ties into our SCADA rule, which requires SCADA data to exist on all generators of at least 5 megawatts. We're able to provide the SCADA data of their output through that web page. And we've been able to provide those larger generators data through that page because it's basically considered public domain. But when it comes to the smaller DIR data, which is not currently in public domain, if we get requests for even just, you know, simple information like size, type, and approximate location within the province, we're currently unable to provide it, even though that may be useful information for market participants. And it may be something that there's not any commercially sensitive type issues to. So we're looking at trying to provide some of this information with the goal of being more transparent and providing more useful data to industry and stakeholders. And so you may see new types of data normally not available or normally that we've said no to in the past through data requests and other means made available at some point in the future. But we do need to go through this assessment process first to make sure that there aren't any concerns with the release of that data. Are there any questions about the ISO's objectives here to reduce barriers to some of our data? Not seeing any. Okay. Well, this definitely took a lot less time to get through than initially anticipated, but that's the main information I have for all of you folk today. We still have a number of key questions, which some of you have also already helped provide feedback on, so thank you for that. There will also be a stakeholder comment matrix where you can also leave additional information. The key questions, though, that we have and the information we're seeking here is really about what types of data would you like us to provide? And thank you to those who have already provided some on this, both through the API and external data portal. We do want to hear any feedback you have in terms of how you would like to access ISO data. Like, are these APIs good? Does the external data portal make sense? You just want to love and keep using ETS, something else, we'd be all ears. We want to know what additional information, like metadata, you would like to know when it comes to ISO data. Like, is there anything missing? Are there any challenges to understanding the data that you're looking at or anything you want to see with it? And we also want to know how you would like us to engage you when it comes to external data provision in the future. For example, would a working group be helpful that you can help give us more direct and collaborative feedback on? Would surveys be an efficient means? Do you just want us to make an email available where you can send any suggestions as they come up? Something else? We'd like to hear from you because we do want to hear feedback you have. We're planning to continue to advance these initiatives, and while we have ideas of where we think they're going to go and where we want to take them, if there are ideas from stakeholders, we are all ears. I did get a comment here from Erica again. Given the evolution in data and its importance going forward, are there upcoming advances beyond, say, APIs that the ISO may be considering? Are we chasing the curve, behind the curve, or ahead of the curve? Great question. Fair question indeed. I would say that the ISO today, especially before the APIs, is arguably a little bit behind the curve. When you look at other ISOs and other public organizations, many of them have more advanced means with which to provide data. And so, depending how you look at it, maybe we're playing catch up here. So I don't think we're ahead of the curve on this, and not necessarily looking to get ahead of the curve, but rather be helpful on this. And, you know, to your point, if there are newer means, upcoming advances beyond APIs, for example, that the ISO should be looking at, we would definitely like to hear about them. And now I believe there is a question coming in, a hand raised as well. My apologies. I thought I'd be able to see hands coming up here, and apparently I can't with the way that I've got everything set up at the moment. So my apologies for this. Are we able to?
You should be able to unmute yourself, Chad.
Chad, please.
Sorry, can you hear me?
Yes.
It's Chad McEnany from NMAX. I would echo some of the comments that we've heard earlier this morning, just in terms of, you know, a more complete build out of the APIs. I'm sure, like a lot of people, we run into issues whenever columns or structure or anything like that changes on the ISO's webpage, that causes us issues of prescraping. And then again, kind of the next step from our standpoint, would be custom APIs for, as someone mentioned, things like atoms, not just instruction time, but dispatches, directives, you know, messages even potentially. And then even on top of that would be, you know, custom APIs for ETS offers and things like that that we would be able to scrape as well. Just on the last slide, you did talk about reducing barriers to ASO data access. We were kind of thinking the next level on that would be, you know, is there any plans or consideration to make those data sets available in more of a, like a subscription based or platform architecture? You know, as an example, you know, end users could subscribe to the ASO and provide a server endpoint that basically could potentially receive data sets from the ASO. When the ASO has the data available, it would just push it to the subscriber or the end user. And then we would just basically essentially store it or process it on our side. And I think from, you know, an end user standpoint, you know, it would result in basically more timely data to the client since it gets pushed as soon as it's ready. And then also from the ASO standpoint, it would probably result in, you know, less frequent polling of your servers from, you know, all the end users basically just continuing to ping them until we get the data. So, you know, I think kind of as a ideal or perfect world, you know, we would like to see, you know, something along those lines, or just, you know, see if it that is something that would be considered.
Yeah, I think that's a very interesting idea and one that we can definitely look into and see if that's something we can pull off. You know, at first blush, I don't see why not. It would obviously take time and effort for us to be able to set up, but that's something we will take away and look at for you. So thank you for that suggestion.
And then, sorry, one last question too about the analytics dashboard. Would that be basically just a kind of like a static view of, you know, CSD or load or wind? You know, how customizable do you think that would be? You know, for example, you know, could it be something where we could look at day over day changes or changes to a, you know, a historical day or something like that? Or is it more kind of just a static representation of, you know, like the CSD or wind or whatever is currently available?
Fair question. So initially we're looking to build out something relatively simple on it. Kind of like I mentioned in terms of the principles of how we're looking to these projects, we're looking to do iterative test and learn type approaches on this. So at least at first, it will be something more static, kind of to your point, static in terms of its structure and framework, but still dynamic in terms of auto uploading the data that you see in there. Day over day, you know, initial thinking, there may be a bit of that in terms of like if there's a chart that shows, you know, being able to look back different time frames, that's something we do want to build out with it as well. So some of these types of capabilities are consistent with where we think we want to push this. I'm not sure if the first iteration of this will have all of that, but that is the type of stuff we're looking at. And, you know, want to hear this kind of feedback too, that if that kind of thing is helpful, then that, you know, gives us more confidence that that's the right direction to go. And if, you know, there's no appetite for that kind of thing, then, less likely to go there. But yeah, no, that's the kind of stuff that we definitely could include. So yeah, day over day and more sort of dynamic abilities to manipulate and examine the data is sort of what I'm hearing there.
Yeah, thanks.
Makes sense to me. Yeah, thank you for that. Got a question in from Will Chow at Power Advisory. Hi, Will. Any plans to get more location specific or regional data when it comes to power demand? Yes. Now, that wasn't on the APIs, but this is something we want to provide in the future through the data portal, at least down to a granularity that we can currently do, which would be, say, to the ISO planning area level. So right now, like I said, we're focused more on the APIs because that's an effective and efficient means with which to push data into the data portal. But yeah, more granular load data is something we want to provide. We have provided it in the past, and if you're looking to get some more, that is something we can do in terms of, you know, make a request through our data request page on our webpage. There's an email there that you can send a request form to. Not too tough to put that together, an updated data set. So not optimal, not perfect. This isn't the best means with which to provide data in the long run, but it's something that we can provide for now. And just as a quick related side note, you know, we do have this data request page. It is one of the ways that market participants can access ISO data. You can either see what others have requested before or make a request there. A personal objective of this whole data portal is to try to minimize, ideally right down to zero, the number of data requests we get. Ideally, if we can make all of this data that people want to see proactively available, then that could save us time and effort in terms of handling data requests. So that's another motivation behind what we're trying to achieve here. Hopefully that answers your question, Will. Another question from Will. Any plans to start to integrate data beyond system megawatts, like loading on transmission lines and substations, basically data for market participants to get much more granular on system capability? Fair question. So I do know that we have a initiative to provide more capability type data on the transmission system in the future this year. I'm not privy to all the details of that, but I do know that's something being worked on. So stay tuned for more info on that. When it comes to granularity on, say, specific transmission lines or substations, that is one that we can't currently provide because of 103, that rule 103.1. So that is something that we'd have to go through that impact assessment for prior to being able to provide it. So we can take away those ones to consider as part of that impact assessment and see what we can do on that. So no promises or anything. It'll depend on what that impact assessment comes up with. But yes, we are trying to provide more granular data, at least as detailed as we can go. We have a question from Daniel Armstrong at TransAlta. Earlier, you gave some plans of what reports will have APIs developed. Do you plan to eventually have all data available over those APIs, or is there some that won't work or is preferably accessed by existing methods? Yes, good question. So this, we were starting with ETS because we're trying to reduce web page scraping on it. And not all ETS reports are scraped equally. And so if there's some reports that aren't useful or valuable, it would be tougher for us to prioritize turning those ones into APIs. And it may be more valuable to look at other types of data that the ISO has and make those available through APIs. So there's a bit of an it depends on that. We do want to provide value here, so we don't want to develop APIs or push data externally if it's going to have low value. And you know, we're not going to be able to make everything into APIs all at the same time and right away. So there's a something of a priority sequence that's going to go with this, and we want to make the most useful stuff available first. And also thinking of this as from sort of an 80-20 type perspective, probably 20% of our data is what there's 80% of the demand for. So we want to focus on what's going to be most helpful first there. And then as we get the useful data sets out there, we can start looking at, you know, the additional data sets that we go from there. In terms of, you know, whether it can work or not, like maybe some APIs can't, that's going to be a bit of a case by case basis probably as we work through which APIs we want to do next and what the structure and format of the underlying data is and how conducive to APIs they are. One of the things, for example, that we were looking at with the outage reports is whether it would be feasible to put all three outage reports into one API. We're still kind of looking at that, seeing if it's feasible. We're not sure at the moment. But you know, the structure may not lend itself well, or with the CSD page and metered volumes, like we talked about, we had to go to multiple APIs. So in some cases, it might not be a one-to-one API, or maybe needs to be broken out type thing. So eventually have all data. Yeah, that's the goal, but it's going to be incremental as we get there, and we want to make the most useful and valuable stuff available first. Hopefully that answers your question. Got a question from James Conville at the MSA regarding the deprecation of specific API versions. How might this be communicated to stakeholders and users before old versions of APIs are removed? I think we had mentioned on the API page that those ones are going to be removed, and that's the main way. I believe we're going to keep them up until, oh boy, I hope I don't get this wrong, but I think it was going to be until June. We're not looking to change them again or have more deprecated ones. The initial ones were a like for like of what was presented in ETS, and the time date format in ETS can be a little bit tricky to work with downstream systems. Some extra steps in there to convert it into UTC or GMT was kind of needed. We want to provide UTC or GMT so that it cuts through all of the daylight savings challenges and time zones and all of that. And that's in part to feedback that we actually received from stakeholders last year when we were talking a little bit about some of our initial API work. We don't think that we'll need to retire any more of the current APIs. And there was a judgment call on this one as to, well, do we keep going with that format, or do we make the change now while there's only a couple of them up to the better systems to make it kind of easier for everybody involved? And we eventually decided to make that call. So, if you think we need additional communication on that, let us know. We can strive to make that more available. We can put a notice into the stakeholder newsletter, for example, as we get closer, and try to make sure that people have enough time to transition over to the new ones. These have been great questions. Are there more? Okay. We do have another question here. Chad, please. Should be able to open your mic. Yep.
We can hear you. Just one last question here. Just curious if the scope of this initiative includes making any kind of ASO, current ASO data that is not public, available to market participants. And I guess we've had, feedback internally on things like, for example, the wind and solar power ramp up, management. The calculation or the methodology in that information document basically lays out the formula to calculate, the wind and solar power limit, but it doesn't, provide any of the actual, figures used in that calculation, or they're not made public. Things like the RDC, the ramp down capability, or change in internal load, a change in interchange schedule, things like that. I'm just curious if this initiative encompasses potentially making some of that data public.
Thanks for your question. It could, and so. The wind power, the ramp up, change in internal load and whatnot. Those are types of data that I have to admit, like through my work, at least what I've encountered, we didn't know that there was demand for that kind of information or data to be released. It is something we can take away and look at though to see whether that is something we can provide. There's going to be, and it depends on, what are our requirements to, keep it confidential or not, what we must or must not provide. We are in a number, confidentiality, the 103.1 confidentiality rule is one of a couple different governing documents of our data, and that sets out what we can and can't provide. So we'd have to do an assessment on there and also what potential commercially sensitive or other impacts the release of that type of data may have. But we can add it to our list of data to look at. So if you could, through any of the feedback means, like through the comment matrix or even just emailing us, ask for us to take a look at that, we can add it to the list. What is it you would like? I'm not going to make promises, but we can try to see if we can make that available.
Great. Thank you.
Welcome. And Will Chow says, this is high value work, much appreciated. Thank you, Will. Glad that you're finding this helpful. We're hoping it'll be helpful too at the end of the day. We're trying to make it easier for everyone on this. So unless there are any other questions or hands up, I'm going to give Mark Roberts, our manager of business applications and planning, a chance to speak here as well about some of the upcoming Market Tool user group news and events.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Stephen. Just a quick plug here for our May 17th engagement. Sujata, Justin, and Chad have all been singing my song in the chat as we've been going along here. May 17th, we're looking for all of our participants to bring their most outspoken, opinionated, and creative folks to come talk about ETS and Atoms, where our tools are getting in the way of your process improvements and how you're looking to evolve, how you work with offers and dispatch. We're going to break it into two discrete parts so that folks will have a clear understanding of when to join in for ETS and when to join in for Atoms, but it's going to be a very highly interactive session where we want to have some spirited discussions about the most high-value things we can do around offer management and dispatch that will really move the needle for all of our participants in terms of their own process efficiencies. Fun stuff like dispatch and ETS over SCADA, web APIs, and whatever other wild ideas people might have, so we can start to build a roadmap and, give IT a chance to ramp up their resources before we give them a heart attack with everything we're going to ask them to do. So yeah, look for more information to come up through April on the website. And if you have one of the promos of what we're going to talk about or have any questions about that May engagement, feel free to email markettools@aso.ca and we'll be happy to answer any questions you have. That's it.
Thanks, Mark. So, as part of these session closeouts, we want to make sure that we are doing our job when it comes to proper stakeholder engagement. So we do have a couple questions for you. If we could get you to answer those just to help ensure that we're getting feedback on this. And we want to make sure that we are doing the right thing with these sessions. So first question here, you know, was the purpose of the session clear? We'll also be asking, and we'll give a minute for that one first, I think here. And you'll have to bear with me for a minute. I've not done one of these things from this side of the poll, to be totally honest with you. And was the information presented in a clear manner? And just while everyone's doing this, I do want to give a huge shout out to Ryan Gallant, who has been immensely helpful setting this whole session up in the background. He's from our comms team, and I would not have been able to do this without him. So thank you, Ryan. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve.
Okay. Was the presentation content clear and informative? Did you find the session valuable? I have to assume that there's going to be a bit of a self-selection on this one, where if you found it truly invaluable, you probably would have left by now, but don't let that sway your decision. Okay, well, thank you everyone for answering those questions. We do appreciate it a ton. Couple next steps here. So we do invite you to provide detailed input on the session via the questions in the comment matrix. It is available. We don't have the exact path here in the slide deck, but it is at the same spot on our webpage there. And Ryan, I'm wondering if maybe we can put in a link into the chat window or something to provide people with a link to it. We will review the stakeholder feedback that you provide us and ultimately try to align our efforts with your feedback there. So we do appreciate it. We do mention in the matrix that we're looking to get it back on or before April 15th. Thank you, Ryan. However, you know, this is an ongoing process. We're going to be working on trying to expand and improve access to ISO data. So we will be looking for any comments or feedback or thoughts that you may have even well beyond April 15th. So you can fit, if these things come in late, I'm not going to be too fussed about it, to be honest, but try to get by that time frame. There is also this M-analysis at ISO, stands for market analysis, at ISO.ca. If you have any data questions or have specific feedback, specific data sets you're looking for us to provide, et cetera, anytime, please feel free to contact us here. This one comes directly into my team, and my team is heavily involved with these projects to push or to improve the access to data. So we will be paying attention. We can take that feedback to heart. So don't be afraid. We're looking to make this valuable for you. So let us know what you think could be valuable. All right, everyone. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We're up at 10 o'clock, so can give you back a good half hour here. Seems like probably a good time to end it. So thank you all. Appreciate it.